Good morning. I'm very thankful to have another opportunity to speak. We do pray that Brother John will be back with us soon and hope he's getting better. I thought it would be good this morning to have a part three to one of the lessons that we began previously with David as we studied concerning the great wisdom that David had even as a very young man. We'll quickly review some of those points that we earlier studied concerning that wisdom, and then we'll look more at how we apply that wisdom in our daily lives. We had read before in 1 Samuel 18 concerning what the Lord said about David, even as he was a very young man serving under Saul. In verse 14, it says there that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. And we noted there that that word wisely literally is to be circumspect, where you are constantly looking around and considering the things that are all around and how to respond to those things. We saw in 1 Kings chapter 2 how David then imparted that understanding of how to have that wisdom to his son Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3, we see what he told Solomon there. It's where he said, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." And we noted there in particular, when he said, "that you may prosper," that word prosper there is the same word as wisdom that we studied in chapter 18, where it says that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Well, that is exactly the same word here. So here he's teaching his son Solomon how to have that same wisdom, that same circumspectness. And we see what was it that he showed him that he needed to do. Well, there in verse 3, he lists a number of things, but it all goes back to that foundation of being based upon God's word, where he said to walk in God's ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. And of course, we find all of these things in God's word. And we need to be searching diligently into God's word so that we have that foundation upon which we can have that wisdom, that circumspectness that we need in order to appropriately handle the things in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, we see here what the Lord expects of all of us as we go through day to day. He says here that strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So as we go through each day, the Lord is expecting all of us to be circumspect like David was, and to be exercising our senses to discern, to distinguish the things that are good from the things that are evil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, he tells us here that we need to prove, that is to test, all things. So that ties right in with what we just read in Hebrews chapter 5, where we need to be discerning the things around us. We need to be testing these things. And then what do we need to be doing once we test these things? Is it just testing for the sake of testing? Well, no, we see the remainder of verse 21 and verse 22. He says here, after we prove all things, he says, "Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." So we see here that once we are able to discern and see these things, that this thing is a good thing or this thing is an evil thing, that we then need to take some action based upon what we discern. And here he says we need to hold on or hold fast to those things that are good, and that we need to abstain, keep ourselves from anything that has the appearance of evil. And so we want to go back now. We want to consider more about David. Previously in one of our lessons we had looked at Psalm 101, and we're going to go back to that psalm now. We'll see here that in this psalm, David describes the things that he did as a part of that wisdom that he had. In verse 1, David starts the psalm here by saying, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." Now, again, remember what David had taught his son Solomon, how he taught him that he needed to walk in God's commandments and his judgments and his testimonies and so on. Well, here, what do we find David saying that he's singing about? Well, he's singing about God's mercy and his judgment. So David here is starting out by pointing out that he's considering these things that he is finding in God's word. But then he goes on in verse 2 to say, "I will behave myself wisely." And there we find that same word that we're referring to again, this circumspectness. "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." So as we consider and again remind ourselves of God's testimony concerning David, that he was a man after God's own heart, and as we're seeking to hopefully have that same testimony about ourselves, we need to consider what David's view was here, how he was intending to behave himself wisely here, circumspectly, and that he wanted to walk within his house with a complete heart. And so then he goes on, and in the remaining verses here, verses 3 through 8, it gives us many examples. There's at least 10 different things that he mentions here as being applications of things that he's discerning, and that it's also describing what he's doing about those things that he's discerning. So just as we read earlier where in Thessalonians, where he told us or tells us that we need to test all things and that we need to hold on to the things that are good and abstain from all appearance of evil, we're going to see David doing exactly that here and giving us several examples of how he did that. And so this can serve to help us understand how can we walk more wisely in the way that David did, and how can we grow to have this kind of testimony of David for applying to ourselves. And so as we continue on here in this chapter, in verse 3, we'll read verses 3 through 8. Here he says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that has a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they that dwell with me, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord." And we're going to look more closely at these verses, but again, we want to connect it to verse 2, where David says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way, circumspectly." And as we consider these things that he mentions in verses 3 through 8, we realize that these things are all the result of him being circumspect about his situation. He's considering all of these things, and then he's taking some actions based on what he's discovering about these things. And so in verse 3, we see him mentioning not setting any wicked thing before his eyes. And we'll look more at that. But notice the actions here quickly, just to summarize before we get circle back to some of the specifics. But in verse 3, he's not going to set anything wicked before his eyes. In verse 3, it will not cleave to him. This implies that he's doing something to make sure that this does not cleave to him, stay joined with him. In verse 4, he talks about a froward heart, that it is going to depart from him. So it obviously there implies that He was there with someone who had a froward heart, but he's not going to continue to let that continue to be, and that they are going to depart. In verse 4, again, he says, I will not know a wicked person. So he's discerning, here's a person that is wicked in God's eyes. I'm not going to have anything to do with this person. Verse 5, he's going to cut off those that slander their neighbor. Again, later in verse 5, he's not going to suffer or allow one who has a proud look or a proud heart. On the other hand, in verse 6, what do we see there? Well, he's also discerning and recognizing, here is someone who is faithful. And what action is David going to take there? Well, he notes in verse 6 that this is the one who is going to dwell with him. In verse 6, also there, he says, those that walk in a perfect way will serve him. So as David was considering, who is it that I want to be working with me and serving me in the things that I'm trying to accomplish? Well, here he says, it's those that are walking in a perfect way. He's discerning and seeing, this is a person that is not walking in a perfect way. I don't want this person to be one of my servants. I want this one over here to be my servant. Verse 7, he notes there, one who works deceit is not going to dwell in his house. And again, that's easy to quickly read over, but we realize, well, obviously deceit is deceitful, is it not? It's not something that's easily recognized. And so it again implies here that David is carefully considering what someone is saying and doing here, and he's recognizing this person is being deceitful here, and he's then taking this action that they're not going to dwell in his house. And so again, we recognize the circumspectness that has to be there in order for David to recognize that deceit and then to do something about it. Later in verse 7, he says, he that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. Well, do we always recognize immediately when something is a lie? You know, again, that's something that maybe we have to come to understand, that this thing that this person is saying is not something that's true. And again, we've got to apply some discernment and ability to recognize that this thing is not truth. And then, again, to take some action based upon that. In verse 8, David said that he would destroy the wicked of the land. He would cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. So over and over, we're seeing him carefully considering and discerning these ones and these situations around him, and being able to distinguish the things and the ones who are good from the ones who are not. And then he's taking the appropriate action. We go back to verse 3 then and consider a little bit more there. He says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. You know, we need to consider what the Lord says about how we need to be viewing evil. Proverbs 8, let's read verses 11 through 13. And we see here that this, as we're discussing about the wisdom of David and learning about this wisdom that David had, here's wisdom speaking in Proverbs 8 in verse 11. He says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So here is wisdom speaking in the first person in verses 12 and 13. And the first thing we note there, that wisdom says, I find out knowledge of witty inventions. So we see the connection here to this circumspectness and this discernment that we need to have. We see that it requires us to have this wisdom that we find from God's Word. And we need to recognize the value of that wisdom. As it says there in the previous verse, wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. we need to recognize how valuable this wisdom is that we find in God's Word and what we need that wisdom for. And it points out here that this wisdom will give us that ability to find out the knowledge of witty inventions. So just as David was saying there in Psalm 101 that he was recognizing the deceitful and the liars and the different ones, it was requiring him to recognize these deceitful things that they were doing, these witty inventions that they may have had, and recognizing those things so that he could then act upon that. It also talks about the fear of the Lord here in verse 13. It says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We also know from what Proverbs teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want to have this wisdom that is necessary to have this proper discernment, we need to have this fear of the Lord. We need to be recognizing who God is and who we are, that we're nothing compared to our Creator. We need to realize that there is a judgment coming and that we are all going to give an account and give an answer before our Creator in that judgment. And we need to recognize who He is and what His privileges are in owning this world and being able to establish the path that we need to go. And we need to recognize how small we are in relation. And so we then need to accept that wisdom that He's giving us and what He's showing us here, that we need to understand these things that He defines as good and these things that He defines as evil. And our response to those things that are evil need to be the same as His, that we hate the things that are evil. And of course, when we hate something, we understand how we respond to it. And that's how we need to respond to these things. And if we consider what we just read in Psalm 101, how did David respond to those ones who were lying or being deceitful or doing these other things? He hated it, and he wanted nothing to do with those things. And he literally separated himself from the ones that were involved in those things and who were not going to do otherwise. And we need to have that attitude as well about these things, that we recognize, when we have that discernment to recognize the things that are evil, that we hate it. We realize God hates this, I need to hate this, and I need to react accordingly. Brother John has been on our Sunday evenings, he's been talking about that armor, that spiritual armor that we need. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, we studied there, why is it that we need that spiritual armor? And of course, we also studied how all of those parts of that armor go back to God's Word. Just as we pointed out earlier, that foundation for our wisdom and our being able to discern, it all goes back to God's Word. Well, so does the armor. And so in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the devices of the devil. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, he's pointing out to the congregation there that they are not wanting, or they do not need to let Satan get an advantage of us, he says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to be recognizing that the devil is working and that he has many methods, he has many devices that he uses to try to draw us in to sin. And we need to be discerning those methods and recognizing those methods and saying, hey, this is something that the devil uses to trap us and to lure us away. And again, being reminded that we need that fear of the Lord and we need to be hating the things that are evil. In Psalm 97 and verse 10, he tells us there, you that love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. So if we truly do love the Lord, what does he say we must do? He says we must hate evil. And so we need to be applying this in all of our daily lives. And do we recognize and do we consider, as we are seeking to discern and to be circumspect about things, we need to recognize that as we are in this world, we're surrounded by a world that the Lord considers to be ungodly. a world that the Lord considers will be lost if they don't repent and change. And we need to recognize the world for what it is and recognize the dangers of the influences that we can have from this world. Recently, I was looking at some of the lyrics from some of the songs from some of the very popular kids movies and books and things like that. And I'm not going to name it here, but you might recognize it possibly. But I picked out one stanza from this song just to highlight, you know, as we're how careful we need to be in terms of our discernment and what we are ourselves listening to or seeing or allowing our children or our grandchildren to listen and see. But just consider the lyrics from this song, which is a children's song. This is not something that's targeted for adults, although there are many adults that I think probably like this as well. But consider the words here of this song, where in this stanza it says, makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. So here's a children's song that has words that are really completely blasphemous when you think about what the words are saying. No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. Well, you know, we have children that run around and hum and sing these kinds of songs, and they're sitting in front of the movie where this song is being sung, and they're taking this very rich visual experience that they're getting from this movie, and the very rich sounds and songs that are developed that are very you know, pleasing to listen to. But what about the words of those songs? The musical notes might be one thing, but what about the words of these songs? And do we realize what's happening when they're listening to words like this, or when we listen to words like this? You know, as this time goes on, we listen to this more and more, we have to realize that these things will affect all of us. And again, we recognize this was just one short stanza from the song. Nearly all of the stanzas have something wrong with them in a similar way. And so, you know, this is an example. Just as we read some examples in Psalm 101 of David, where he was on a day in ordinary day-to-day situations, he was recognizing, discerning when people were lying or being deceitful or doing these different things. And he was then cutting them off and separating himself from these ones that were involved with these things. And so we need to have that kind of discernment ourselves. And we need to be asking ourselves, am I reacting to these things in the same way that David did, where I'm hating these things and I'm taking some action to remove these things from my presence or from my children's presence or my grandchildren's presence? And we need to realize, well, if we're not, then we're not walking in the path that the Lord has shown us through David as an example. We're not walking in that path of one who is desiring to have God's heart. And so this is very important for us. And there's a reason that the Lord gives us things like Psalm 101, where he's making very specific application to different situations to show us we all need to be circumspect and considering everything around us and testing it and considering, is what would the Lord think about this? How does he view this? Is this something that he thinks is pleasing, or is this something that the Lord hates? And if the Lord hates it, how do I need to think about it? And if I hate something, Do I continue to watch it? Do I continue to listen to it? Do I continue to let my children or my grandchildren listen to it? You know, we certainly and obviously realize that's not going to be the case if we truly hate these things that the Lord hates. And so we recognize, as the Lord said in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know, the world thinks these things are great. You know, they hear those kinds of lyrics and they say, yeah, This is great. We should be free to do what we want for ourselves. And, of course, we hear people making that argument about all kinds of things that I should be able to decide what I want to do in this life. And they're deceived. And, of course, I think we mentioned in our Bible class this morning that, the Lord is going to send a strong delusion to those that don't love this truth that we find in His Word. And so we see the world, we look around, we see they're very much deluded about these things. And they're deceived by these things, and they're going down the path to destruction. Again, as the Lord teaches in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We've got to be very careful that we don't fall into those same traps that 99% of the world is falling into, where we're going down this way that is deceitful. It looks very enticing. It's very attractive to all of us. And we need to recognize, well, that's one of the methods that the devil uses, is he has these things that are very appealing in different ways to us, and we tend to go after those things. And he's using that as one of his methods. And we all should know that, we could go out and look and find no end of children's songs or children's books that are filled with similar teachings that we just read in that song. If we are just simply looking and trying to discern and realize it's all there. We have to understand, as Jesus taught in John chapter 14 and verse 6, that there is only one way that leads to eternal life. Jesus said in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So he's shown us that one way, and we need to recognize that is a very narrow way, as we're taught in the book of Matthew, and that the other way is a very broad way. That way that the world is going is the way that most are going, and we don't need to get distracted and deceived into going down that way. We're reminded of Genesis chapter 6 and the situation there. We've read this many times, but there in verse 5, we see there when God was looking at the hearts, when he was searching out the hearts, as he does with all of us, what did he see there in the days of Noah? Well, in verse 5 it says, "He saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So he saw those imaginations in their hearts. And the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, what does he see in my imagination? What does the Lord see? What am I thinking about? What am I considering? And asking ourselves about the ones back in Noah's day, were they being discerning and wise like David? How many folks in that time were doing that? How did they get to the point where the Lord eventually brought the flood and destroyed the world? How did they get to that point? Well, it came about as a result of them not discerning what was going on around them, and thinking that these imaginations were things that they could continue to dwell upon in their hearts. And how many were left by the end? Well, we know that the Lord eventually saved 8 souls out of the entire population of the world. So everyone but 8 souls were not discerning about the fact that these things that were going on in their hearts were things that they should not have been considering, that they should have taken action upon and separated themselves from. But rather than doing that, we see there that they continued in those things, and it led to their destruction. And of course, the same is true for us today. The Lord is going to destroy all of those who have those kinds of hearts. And so we need to be recognizing and discerning the world for what it is. In 2 Peter chapter 2, there in verse 20, the Lord refers to these things in the world when we come out and become Christians. In verse 20, he says, "If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." When we're Christians, that's how we need to be thinking about this, is that we have escaped from these pollutions in this world. The Lord has called us to something else here that he defines as good, and he's defining these other paths as evil. And so we need to think of those as pollutions. Now, how many in here like to go and play in the pollution, right? We like to go jump in a sewage pond. You know, that's an absurd thought. But what's happening spiritually when we're letting all of these things continue to influence us and we're not doing anything about these things? Again, are we having that wisdom like David had? Or are we going down a path that is deceiving us? And we need to recognize it's the latter. And so we need to view this as pollution in this world. It's something that we need to be separating ourselves from. He literally says that in the book of Corinthians. We'll get there in just a minute, Lord willing. But in 1 John chapter 2, he warns us and tells us in verse 15 to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he plainly tells us, if we love the things in this world, he says, the love of the Father is not in him. It's a simple statement. It's a fact. If we love this world, we don't love God. We don't have God's love in us. And then he goes on in the next verse 16 to describe and summarize how he views this world. He says, all that's in this world, and he describes the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. He says these are things are not of the Father but are of the world. And of course, we recognize those, all three of those things, as methods that Satan uses to draw us in. These desires that appeal to our eyes. We see something and think, oh, that looks good. I want to go after that. Or this thing is something that appeals to my fleshly body in some way, and we decide to go after that. Or it's something that appeals to our pride and causes us to be lifted up, and we go after that because it satisfies our pride. And we need to be recognizing these are sort of the three fundamental methods that Satan uses. Again, the Lord starts this verse out by saying, all that's in the world. And he sums it up in these three ways. And I have yet to think of one of these desires or temptations that come upon us that don't fall into at least one of those categories. And so as we consider how do we discern more effectively, how do we become more like David in being circumspect, we need to be aware of the ways that the devil uses, and that, as he says here, it can be through things that entice us visually through our eyes or through our physical bodies, or it can be things that appeal to our pride. And of course, we all understand how we need to get rid of that pride, but in the meantime, we've got temptations that tempt us to do things that will cause us to be lifted up. And so we need to be keeping that in mind as we're discerning these things. Okay, that's a method, that's a technique that the devil uses to get people to fall. And I don't need to fall for that particular trap. And so we need to be looking on guard and looking out for these things. We need to be considering, those are maybe the categories of some of the methods the devil uses. And then there are specific ways or examples of how those things are used. The Lord mentions some of those in Proverbs chapter 6. In verse 16, he talks about the seven things that the Lord considers to be an abomination to him. And he starts out there in verse 17 with a proud look. So we just saw there in 1 John chapter 2 how pride is one of those methods that the devil uses. Well, it's the very first thing here that the Lord mentioned as being something that he hates is a proud look. Now, of course, there are other ways that we can be taken in by pride. But one of those ways is a proud look. Somebody who is lifted up and thinking that they're great, and we all probably could think of examples, and we could probably all look to ourselves and realize we've all fallen to that many times. But we need to recognize, well, what does the Lord think about that? Well, he thinks it's something that is an abomination. And so what do we need to be thinking about it? When we see somebody who is proud, when we read earlier in Psalm 101, when David saw a person like that, what was his, what did he do? Well, he said he cut them off. He put them away. He would not suffer them to be around him. We need to be doing the same. In the second thing he mentions in verse 17, he says a lying tongue. We've already read about that in Psalm 101 as well, that David put himself away from those who were lying and who were deceitful. He goes on here in verses 17 and 18 to talk about hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord between brethren. All these things, the Lord sees these things and he hates these things. And so as we're seeking to grow in our discernment of things, we need to recognize, well, these are things that the Lord is really putting at the top of his list. And this needs to be at the top of our list as well, of things that we recognize and are looking out for and that we absolutely hate as well. And we need to be separating ourselves from these things when we see them. Again, back in Psalm 101, over and over we were seeing where David was saying, this person is going to depart from me. I won't know them. I'm going to cut them off. I'm not going to suffer them or allow them to be dwelling with me. So over and over he put these things away from him. He understood that principle that the Lord teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, where he tells us, be not deceived, there in verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And so David recognized and understood that principle of God. And when he ran into these situations, what did he do? Well, he cut off that evil communication. He had nothing to do with it. And think about how difficult that would be. You know, we've all met people that we realize, whoa, this is not a good person here. They have evil inclinations here. Well, if you meet somebody like that, and you know, sometimes it can be rather awkward to figure out a way to disconnect yourselves from that individual. Maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's one of your coworkers, or something like that. Somebody that you've got to literally live next door to, or maybe it's a roommate in college. That's another example. But you know, many different ways that there can be somebody that we have to deal with. Physically, regularly, day to day, but we yet need to find a way to put a separation between ourselves and them, because again, we understand this is someone who is involved in things that the Lord hates, and that if we're not careful and we continue to associate with that influence, as he says there in 1 Corinthians, it's going to corrupt. You know, many people think, well, I could be around that and it won't affect me. But, you know, we're just fighting against what the Lord is fundamentally teaching here in this verse. He says it corrupts, and we need to believe what he says, and we need to respond as if we believe that, meaning that when we have these situations, we need to find a way to separate ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, he tells us, be not unequally yoked together, joined together with unbelievers. We need to be recognizing who are the unbelievers here. And when we do, what do we need to do? We don't need to be joined with them in any way. As he concludes in verse 17, he says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. That word separate there is to literally to be set off by a boundary. There is a type of a boundary between us and an individual who is an unbeliever. And of course, the things that those unbelievers are propagating and teaching and saying, we need to be separating ourselves from those things as well, and recognizing the source of many of these things that we see and hear every day, and where that is coming from. And so we need to be taking the appropriate actions. We recall, just quickly going back to considering where David in verse 3 said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You know, we consider how did Job deal with that, and how did he address the things that he thought might come up? Well, we remember what he said in Job 31 and verse 1 concerning looking at a woman. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know, here's a common temptation for everyone to lust after others. And Job understood that that was one of the many methods that the devil uses. And so he thought about that, and he realized, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to be on guard against that particular method that the devil uses? It's a very common one. And what did he do? He said, well, he said, I made a covenant. I made an agreement with my eyes that he was not going to look upon a maid. You know, we need to make those kinds of covenants with ourselves that when this situation comes up, I'm going to do this. I'm going to look away, or I'm going to get out of the room so I don't hear these things that are being said, or whatever it needs to be to make that boundary between ourselves and that thing that the Lord hates. And we need to be thinking and realizing, well, these are all methods that the devil uses. And we need to be on guard for those methods, both for ourselves and, again, for our children and our grandchildren and even for our brethren, right? When we see our brethren getting associated with something that we realize, well, that's going to cause them to be affected in certain ways, we really should try to find ways to encourage them to make that boundary and to separate themselves from those things that are going to hurt their souls. So all of us need to consider that example that we have in David. Psalm 101 is such a good and encouraging psalm that gives us, you know, really practical application of that discernment, examples of how we discern to walk in the Lord's ways. And we all hopefully can consider some of these things this morning and continue to learn more and more about David and about that beautiful heart that David had that was like the Lord's and that was desiring to do good, that loved good and hated evil. And so may we all continue to walk more and more in the steps of these faithful and wise examples that we have in the Scriptures. If there are any here this morning that have not yet put on Christ in baptism, who have not yet made that decision to begin to follow Him, to learn of Him, to go into that one way that He shows us to the Father, we want you to consider what He teaches us in the Scriptures, that He wants us to crucify that old man that has that mind to live for himself and to serve himself, and to put on the new man that's renewed in the image of Christ, that has that determination, I want to follow the things that are good and to do good in this life and seek good in this life. If you've not yet done that, we want you to would invite you at this time to make that known. Or if you're here this morning and need to make requests for prayers for the church for any need, we ask that you do so as we all stand together and sing.